From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. It is 4 minutes after the hour of 10 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States on Monday. And I'm sure you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT Radio. Well, the big news over the weekend, the news that continues to be big and really dwarfing almost everything else, is that Donald Trump says that he is going to be indicted. He says tomorrow. Now, Fox News earlier tonight said that it's probably been pushed back a week. And it will, if it happens, it will not happen until next week. There was more grand jury testimony today, and very rare in grand juries. One person speaking out against kind of the key witness against Donald Trump in the grand jury, Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney. It's a whole mishmash, but what it comes down to is you have a district attorney, Alvin Bragg, in the city of New York, in Manhattan, who, after all these years, is decided that Donald Trump committed a crime by allegedly giving money to the former porn star Stormy Daniels, allegedly to keep an affair quiet while the 2016 campaign was underway. Trump denies there was an affair. Trump denies that there was any such payment. Michael Cohen actually wrote the check. He says he did so at the order of Donald Trump. But the witness who testified today said that basically Michael Cohen is a bald-faced liar, which Michael Cohen did go to jail. So the whole thing is a mess. But there's a question here. What is going on? I mean, how political is this prosecution from a DA who is reportedly one of George Soros' babies, who, you know, the day he got elected decided there's a whole list of crimes he's not going to prosecute, including violent crimes. Yet Donald Trump, on the cusp of the statute of limitations, he's being prosecuted and could go to jail, where you could beat up a cop and be out in an hour? That same city? And the answer is yes. Joining me now to talk about that and the whole thing, welcoming him back to the show, I'm happy to say, is the former U.S. Senator from the great state of Pennsylvania. He's also the chairman of PatriotVotes.com. Did I get that right? Votes or Voices. Voters? Voices. I couldn't read my own writing. I'm sorry. I know it didn't sound right. PatriotVoices.com. The one and only Rick Santorum. Hello, my friend.
How are you, Steve? Good to be with you.
Yeah, it is. This is as crazy as it gets. Before we get into specifics, what's your take on this whole thing?
I mean, I don't know how any sane person, and I mean that sane, any sane person could look at this set of circumstances and not just be disgusted by the rank, partisanship, the attempt to manipulate the election process, to abuse the legal system and the rule of law, to turn American justice into a banana republic type of situation. It is just so fraught. I know some Democrats are actually, you know, speaking out. I can't imagine that Alvin Bragg isn't having his phone and his every communication line to him just burning up by high profile Democrats. This is dangerous stuff. This just shows that Democrats cannot be in power. They're systematically abusing power to get the other side under the most extreme and extraneous circumstances possible. This is a delegitimizer of our process. And I know Democrats, you know, the power is all they care about and they just want to win power, but this undermines them. I don't know how they don't see how this damages them as much as it damages Donald Trump and the system.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Alvin Bragg, as I mentioned, I mean, immediately upon taking office, you know, he's one of these DAs around the country.
That reportedly- crazy. I mean, look, there are on both sides. There are nut jobs, right? And Alvin Bragg hadn't got elected as a nut job in New York, but you try to have people around you that can they can talk some sense into you. And you know what Chuck Schumer isn't doing, or Kathy Hochul, or somebody, Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York. I mean, someone's got to sit this young man down and just say, "No, you're not doing this." And if they can't do that, then it's on them for not providing that leadership.
Well, I mean, you talk about people around him. He had people around him quit when he decided he would not pursue this investigation against Trump. He's pulled this out of a hat after he said no more. He's now, yeah, you know, decided to pull it back out. But people around him quit because they had been investigating. He came in and said no. And so those are the people he surrounds himself with. And as far as Hochul and Letitia James and all these people, I mean, I wouldn't count on any of them. Obviously, none of them have spoken up and told him because he's going full steam ahead. And it's going to happen.
Well, we'll see. I mean, nut jobs hire nut jobs. I said maybe that's something. But look, I know Chuck Schumer. He is a power. He's a Machiavellian power player, and he has to realize this is a damaging thing to the Democratic brand and to the progressive movement. Why AOC? I mean, look, she's a nut job, so that doesn't count. But Chuck Schumer is not. He's a rational human being who, like I said, don't agree with him on anything and don't like the way he does business. But he has to realize this is damaging to the country and it's damaging to the Democratic Party.
Let me just tell you something about Chuck Schumer. Not that you need me to tell you anything. I don't mean it that way. But living in the area and despising Chuck Schumer as I do, there have been Jews beaten up in the streets of Brooklyn in the Hasidic community over and over. We see some of them on video, some of them not on video. A lot of times it's minorities. Chuck Schumer has remained silent. Silent. Chuck Schumer, in my view, is terrified of rocking the progressive boat and getting some kind of challenger against him or whatever he's afraid of. But he just knows his place when it comes to pushing back against the progressives. He doesn't do it.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, he's not going to push back in the Hasidic community because they don't vote for him. So it's nothing for him to lose. But There are a lot of folks who vote for Chuck Schumer who see this for what it is, and it's going to be damaging to them. And I agree, you know, the crazies in the progressive movement, I wouldn't even say all of them. I think even some of the progressives realize this is probably going to be very damaging to them. And for what? I mean, you know, it's a misdemeanor that's being moved to a felony, but it's a felony with no jail time. I mean, there's no judge is going to give anybody jail time for this. I mean, he'll get a slap on the hand if he's convicted, which I doubt he will be. But what does he get? Maybe they think they're helping Trump. I'm not sure they are. I'm not sure that this just doesn't show a lot of voters, particularly in a general election. We don't need this three-ring circus continuing. And whether that's fair to Trump or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's what people are going to see, that
right,
that Trump is just a cloud. It's a clown show that the Democrats and Trump get into, and it actually makes them both look bad.
What does it do, or does it do anything? Because I've heard people say this, and I don't really understand how, maybe for a jury pool point of view, but what does it do for the other cases? I mean, we keep hearing the grand jury in Georgia is moving ahead, and you know, and they've heard the phone calls of Trump trying to convince, you know, to overturn the election, which is a matter of open for interpretation. But there are other cases which have more gravitas, which are more important. And I've heard people say, even from the left, legal people say, oh, this is a disaster for those cases. Do you agree with that, that it will affect the more serious cases if this goes ahead?
It certainly will, because, again, as you just mentioned, this is such an outrageous case that it makes all the other cases become questionable, because to the length that the left will go to hurt Trump, and frankly, most Republicans these days, most conservatives these days, is just knows no bounds. So it delegitimizes it taints everything else because it's so specious.
Yeah. All right. Now I want you to hear, this is going to be, we're going to not do the first cut. We're going to do in a second, cut 229 in 1 second. This is Mike Pence with Jonathan Carl on ABC. And Jonathan Carl just was relentless during the interview, asking Pence about Donald Trump. And what he tweeted out, basically calling for protests, and not tweeted out, but he put it on his social media platform after he said, I'm going to be indicted, blah, blah, blah. Protest, take our country back. And of course, the left is going crazy over that. So I just want you to hear this. This is cut 229. Let's hear it.
But he's calling for people to protest. Is that irresponsible?
Well, first, let me say I'm taken aback at the idea of indicting a former president of the United States. At a time when there's a crime wave in New York City, that the fact that the Manhattan DA thinks that indicting President Trump is his top priority, I think, just tells you everything you need to know about the radical left in this country. It just feels like a politically charged prosecution here. And I, for my part, just feel like it's just not what the American people want to see.
And he pressed him on the protests. And, you know, you have people like Maxine Waters, who in 2018, you know, gave that speech out in the streets of D.C. saying, if you see any cabinet members, anybody associated with Trump, get in their face, make a scene, make them uncomfortable. Don't let them leave, you know, all that kind of stuff. And she's crying about Trump is calling for domestic terrorism. What's your take on what Trump said about protests? And the reaction that it's getting?
Well, what he said about protest goes to the point I made earlier. What this does is hurt both the progressives and Trump, because this brings out the worst in Trump. It brings out sort of the clown show in Trump with him saying, you know, take to the streets and protest this. This is not a responsible move, in my opinion, to call for these types of things. And I, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, let your voices be heard. That's one thing. But I think, again, it shows Trump. It harkens back to January 6th. I mean, it's a move that doesn't de-escalate. It escalates. And the American public back in 2020 said, we don't want any more of that. We don't want this, you know, mutual assured destruction where both sides just escalate and things are out of control. So I think it was a bad decision for Trump to make, because what it did, this is the second point, it gave the left something to hang their hat on and go after him with. If he doesn't say anything, or if he says something that's somewhat, mild in response to this, then the issue is Alvin Bragg. So, but Trump can't do that. He has to make it about what he did. And so what he does is he takes an issue that could be a 90-10 issue for him and makes it a 50-50 issue.
Right.
That's why I think a lot of Republicans, after watching, again, another example of this, because Trump up until this point has been actually a very disciplined candidate in his speeches and his social media feeds and things. He's been actually very, very good at the launching of this campaign, you know, with a few barbs, but that's Trump. But here he is now in a hot situation, and we see how Trump sort of reverts back to old Trump. And I think people are going to say, are we going to go through this again? And by the way, one of the other things that I would say about the race, are we going to go this again for 4 years when we could elect another Republican for potentially 8 years? And that's another big thing people aren't really focused on yet. But I can tell you, Republican voters will when the time comes.
Well, I hope you're right. We're talking to Rick Santorum, of course, the former U.S. Senator from the state of Pennsylvania, chairman of Patriot Voices. Go to patriotvoices.com. I'll ask the senator about that in a second. Two things on this. I've heard it speculated that because he's urged for protests, and if there are any violent protests, that the judge may deny him bail. Did you see any possibility of that?
No. They're not going to lock up the former president of the United States, a candidate for president. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So, I mean, and again, you can say, well, you know, there's crazy people and they're progressives in the courtroom and all that. And that's true. There are. But that's just, again, that's the left escalating again. And I just don't see, again, I can't say that New York, there aren't crazy enough people in New York to do that. There are crazy enough people in New York to do that. Absolutely crazy enough people. Look at AOC and Alvin Bragg and de Blasio. I mean, there are crazy people there who may do those things, but you have to figure somebody. I mean, that's why you look at Trump and you say, oh, Trump is crazy. He does all these irrational things. But he had a lot of people around him and said, you know, Mr. President, you really can't do that. You shouldn't do that. I mean, whether it's Bill Barr or Pat Cipollone or lots of other folks. And it doesn't sound like the left, it's an echo chamber. They don't have anybody telling them, no, you can't do this, right. Which is really, that's to me, that's why I think this is so damaging to the Democrats and to the progressives, is because they just see how out of control they are. There's just no attachment to reason or logic anymore.
Ron DeSantis finally weighed in on this, and people interpret this, and so do I guess, as him taking a dig at Trump, which is well deserved because Trump has attacked him over and over. And then he does attack Bragg. So just listen to, let's do cut 233.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda.
So what do you make of his answer?
What I make is that Donald Trump has changed the discourse in politics on the Republican conservative side. And it would have been back in, you know, before Trump, you would be polite, right? You might say something, but you wouldn't go after someone in a way like that. Number one, and number two, you wouldn't, up until really since the midterm elections, you wouldn't go after Trump because it would be seen as disloyal, and the Trump base will turn against you and Trump will come after you, and you just wouldn't do that. So everybody sort of bowed to Trump and didn't really go out and criticize him very much. But that game is over, and it's not just over that they'll go after him, but they'll be Trumpian in the way they do go after them. And so I think it's, you know, this is all of this in my mind is just not good news for Trump. That doesn't mean he's not going to win the primary and that he might have a chance to win the general election. But I'm saying if the Democrats wanted to use this to help Trump in the short term, it very well may. But I think in the long term, this is going to dredge up a lot of the old sentiment that's been gone for 2 years because Trump's been off the stage for 2 years. And it's going to create a lot of doubt on a lot of voters, certainly in the general, but I even think in the primary.
Well, one more question to your point about, people spoke in 2020. They don't want that, you know, the election stuff anymore, or 2022, whenever. But they're tired of Trump. If he picks Carrie Lake as his VP, all she is, I mean, accomplished newswoman, but that aside, all she is I lost an election, but I really won. I mean, I think that would be a huge disaster.
I keep referring to it as the clown show, but that's what it is. And I think people would just tolerate the clown show because he actually governed in a very reasonable and rational way and made a lot of good calls, a lot of good decisions. I think he made some bad decisions that Republicans unfortunately still are owning and haven't learned, which is some of his national security policy. But the reality is that he's made this bed, and if he hasn't shown the ability, again, I mentioned for a short term so far in this campaign, he's been very disciplined, but in the end, he surrounds himself with people that adore him. And Carrie's the chief adorer, so I wouldn't be surprised that they might even go out early and pick her. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you never know. Rick, give us a short version of what Patriot Voices is all about.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. You know, we're a group that was formed to represent traditional family values and blue collar conservatives. I wrote a book after the 2012 election called Blue Collar Conservatives. Actually, Donald Trump and I met about it in 2014, and he told me he read the book and said that he was going to run for president on this idea. And he did. And by the way, did it better than I did in 2012. And then he won. Patriot Voices sort of came from that to make sure that, you know, energy and manufacturing and traditional values, those are the things we're all about. And we continue to fight those battles, not just in Washington, but, you know, help out, you know, grassroots efforts around the country.
Rick Santorum, my friend, thank you so very much. And we'll speak again, I hope, and stay well.
Thank you, Steve. Take care. Bye-bye.
Rick Santorum, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very interesting conversation. It is crazy. And we'll see what happens with Donald Trump. Okay, we have a lot to get to when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Chris Smith.
The latest policy stance delivered by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis this week on Ukraine. Now, this will upset the mainstream. He does not want the United States to keep funding Ukraine's defense against Russia's invasion. Now, given the fact that he's got a good chance of becoming the next president, this is quite significant. He will withdraw aid to Ukraine. Now, before you all kick up a stink, I agree with DeSantis because it's Europe, not the United States, which should be pitching in the most, and they are not. What is wrong with many of these European giants? It is in their backyard. It's not in the backyard of the United States. It's certainly not in the backyard of Australia. They always leave it to the United States to mop up their mess. Well, if they couldn't contain Vladimir Putin, and I think that's fair enough when it comes to France, they should do and carry the greatest weight in their support for Ukraine. Interesting comments from Ron DeSantis.
Chris Smith on TNT Radio.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you're talking about it,
for a strong America, for a proud America, I am running for president of the United States of America.
We're talking about it.
Today's News Talk Radio,
TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. Steve Malzberg with you. Let us continue letting you hear some of the reaction to what Donald Trump predicts will be his indictment. You know, they already got the streets. They got barricades up around the courthouse. They got 900, from what I read, riot police in riot gear, riot helmets, the whole thing ready to go. Now, they didn't have any of those that I recall during the 2020 riots. They let the riots go. You know, and I don't have any problem with having police. You know, I don't have any problem with protecting against anybody who would do something illegal or violent. I don't have any problem with that at all, to be honest with you. Okay, so let me let you hear some of what was said and talked about. We heard from DeSantis. I want you to hear from the House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer speaking on Fox and talking about the timing of this whole crazy occurrence, which hasn't happened yet. And nobody has said officially it will happen, but it looks like it's going to happen. Here's cut 228.
Well, it's very odd that this would come out just the very next day after I revealed bank records, which showed that the Biden family, the president in particular, hasn't been truthful with respect to his family receiving payments directly from the Chinese Communist Party. So it almost looks like it's an effort to detract. But at the very least, it's another example of two-tier system of justice.
Yeah. Yeah. A two-tier system of justice. I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, the Democrats get away. And it's the double standard. It's a two-tier system of everything. Justice is the most egregious, the most dangerous, the most reprehensible, obviously. But everything, the double standard, I've gone over this a million times. Trump says protest, protest, and he's calling for violence. He's calling for domestic terrorism. But you had a sitting U.S. senator, Cory Booker, New Jersey, says his testosterone makes him want to punch Trump. Said it on national TV. Trump was president at the time. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, Joe Biden, once campaigning for Hillary and once running for president, saying he'd like to take Trump out behind the gym if he was still in school and beat the hell out of him. Nothing. You had Chuck Schumer, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, warning Supreme Court justices that if they decide a certain way, they won't know what hit them. Gorsuch, as he called Gorsuch, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And of course, after that, someone tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh. Nothing. Nobody cared. Nothing. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The senator from Hawaii, Haroni, she said that the Supreme Court decision on abortion was a literal call to arms. She actually said a call to arms, and then she came back to the microphone real quick and said, literally. So that was her point, meaning pick up arms. Literally, that's what that means. Nothing. But Donald Trump says protest. Oh! He's calling for violence. You see the double standard? See the two-tier system? It's outrageous. Just outrageous. All right. So let us move on. This is how it sounded, by the way. You want to know where this all came from. This is probably one of the first reports. This was Friday. This is on Fox News. John Roberts announcing this. Cut 221.
Now, when we are learning that the Manhattan DA's office has asked for a meeting with law enforcement ahead of a potential Trump indictment. This is coming to Fox News from a source in the courts. The meeting, which was requested yesterday and has not been set yet, is to discuss logistics for some time next week, which would mean that they are anticipating an indictment next week. The same source who's familiar with the planning said they will go over security preparations in and around the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Secret Service will take the lead in what they will allow or will not allow. The source cautioned, mentioning, for instance, that the decision to handcuff the president, a former president or not, they will set the tone and will escort him into the courtroom. There will be coordination between all of us, the source said, but we will defer to the Secret Service.
There you go. I mean, if that's not scary stuff, remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about a crime where the statute of limitations, it's questionable whether it hasn't run out. We're talking about a crime that nobody has decided, no federal authority has decided to prosecute. Nobody's prosecuted or attempted to prosecute. Nobody. We're talking about a situation where when this Alvin Bragg character came into office, he said he called off any investigation into this case. He called it off. And then all of a sudden, he started it up again. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why. But you know what he did do? I mean, here's the New York Post story. Here's the New York Post story. The day that Alvin Bragg was sworn in as the district attorney of Manhattan. Manhattan DA to stop seeking prison sentences in a slew of criminal cases. He's ordered his prosecutors to stop seeking prison sentences for hordes of criminals and to downgrade felony charges in cases including armed robberies and drug dealing. So get this, armed robberies and drug dealing would be downgraded from felony to misdemeanor. Donald Trump allegedly paying a stripper, a porn star, money to keep her mouth shut is being upgraded from a misdemeanor to a felony. You see how it works? Do you understand? Do you see the two-tier system? That's what we have. That's what's going on. In his first memo to his staff, Alvin Bragg said his office, and this is back, did I mention the date when he was, when this is back in January 4th of 2022. He will not seek a criminal sentence except with homicides and a handful of other cases. I mean, I've seen instances and heard of instances and know of instances that I've seen where cops are beaten, cops are attacked. And these people are back on the street. You could attack a cop. You could commit armed robbery. But you better not write a check. And he didn't write the check, by the way. You better not allegedly pay off a porn star to keep her mouth shut. That's what we're going after. That's what counts. What a bunch of characters. Now, Mike Pence, who has been critical of Trump in recent weeks, very critical on many fronts, was asked about this first on the street, wherever he was when this was announced, and reporters gathered around him. I forget what the event was. So here is cut 217.
The idea of indicting a former president of the United States is deeply troubling to me, as it is to tens of millions of Americans, and particularly happening in what appears to be a politically charged environment in New York, where the attorney general and other elected officials literally campaigned on a pledge to prosecute the former president.
Guys, we got a stand schedule.
My part is going to be to represent. No one is above the law. I'm confident President Trump can take care of himself. My focus is going to continue to be on the issues that are affecting the American people. I mean, today, to be honest with you, I had one person here mention this issue to me.
That's because nobody really knew about it at that point. I don't see how one person would mention it to him. Only one person, if he was asked, if he was anywhere today. Now, on the, he was also asked about the social media posting that Trump put out. The social media posting where Trump called for protests, and rightfully so. I mean, absolutely rightfully so. And here's what he had to say about that. Cut to 18.
Look, the American people have every right to peaceably assemble and to let their voice be heard. And I think it's extremely important that people have a right to express themselves and express the frustration that they feel to see a liberal Manhattan DA poised to indict a former president of the United States. But that being said, there can be no tolerance for the kind of violence that we saw on January 6th or throughout the summer of 2020.
Yeah. Well, of course, there is tolerance for that. Not only is there tolerance, remember Kamala Harris, wanted people to contribute to the Minnesota fund or the Minnesota jail fund or bond fund to bail the rioters out of prison. And subsequently, one person who was bailed out, from the report that I remember, went on to commit a murder. But that's okay. Again, that never happened. Don't worry about it. No one will ever hear that report. Doesn't matter. Whatever they do on the left is fine and dandy, as you know. Now, here's more from the Jonathan Carl ABC This Week interview on Sunday with Mike Pence. Here is cut 230.
But he's calling on people to protest, to come out and protest, take our nation back. We know what happened the last time he said that.
Well, John, the American people have a constitutional right to peaceably assemble.
Absolutely, but to have a former president calling on people to protest justice proceeding.
The frustration the American people feel about what they sense is a two-tier justice system in this country, mm-hmm. I think is well-founded. But I believe that people understand that if they give voice to this, if this occurs on Tuesday, that they need to do so peacefully and in a lawful manner.
Good for him. And Carl, but Carl doesn't stop. And we've played many of these with Jonathan Carl. When he gets something in his, you know what, he doesn't stop. So here's cut 231.
Former president possibly about to be indicted, and it's unprecedented. Aren't his actions unprecedented? I mean, we never saw a presidential candidate give $130,000 to a porn star to keep her from talking. I mean, these are unprecedented actions.
Well, John, as you know, those events transpired before I even joined the national ticket, and so I can't speak to the merits of the case.
The payoff happened just 2 weeks before the election.
But I can't speak to the merits of the case. Yeah. And in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. That's not always true in the national media, but it is true in our justice system. And look, I know that President Trump can take care of himself. Yeah. And this process will play out if, in fact, an indictment comes down.
Yeah. So he says we've never seen a presidential candidate pay off a porn star before. How do you know he did it? And that's why Pence said it's not always true in the national media, but you're innocent until proven guilty. What Carl should have said was allegedly. He didn't say allegedly. He just said he did it. Because that's who these people are. That's who they are on the left. Don't ever forget it. Because it is so obvious, so apparent. Getting all choked up thinking about it. Had to drink some water there. You know, if I was on TV, you would have seen me drink the water. So now I figured, yeah, I'm on radio. Might as well know that I just consumed some water. I also call it agua, which shows how bilingual I truly am. All right, so let's move on to Chris Christie. Now, who was it? Oh, Geraldo. Geraldo thinks Chris Christie's a good alternative to Trump. Chris Christie? Chris Christie couldn't get elected dog catcher anymore, the former governor of New Jersey. Chris, former presidential candidate. Chris Christie? What'd he get in 2016? 1%? 0.5%? Chris Christie is the rhino of rhinos, Republican in name only. He's the biggest rhino, and I mean that physically and in philosophy. So I'm sorry. But this guy is a piece of work. A real piece. I've told you my Chris Christie stories. I played my Chris Christie sound bites. I'm not going to get into it all. I will, though, if he actually decides to run for president again. What an idiot. And Geraldo, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, really? He's not conservative? He couldn't win this primary. He'd be the first one out again. But here he is. This isn't Christie, though. Oh, yeah, this is Christie. Giuliani's next. So here he is on This Week, ABC. He's a ABC News contributor, is Chris Christie. I'm not going to say what I'm just going to say, but here is cut 227.
This is a party that continues to say that they are for law and order when it suits them, but it doesn't suit them when the crime is gun violence, when the crime is seeing this country suffer from the kind of violence and crime across the board.
I'm not going to stand up for that because let me tell you who doesn't enforce law and order when it comes to gun violence. I go into New York City every week. It is a danger zone to go into Manhattan because Alvin Bragg is running a revolving door and not prosecuting gun crime, not prosecuting violent criminals. And if he does, he lets them out within 4 hours of when they're arrested to commit more crimes. So let's not get into that argument because Alvin Bragg has failed miserably. And all of a sudden he wants to get tough on Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, look, at least Chris Christie's saying that. At least that was Donna Brazile in the first place. Republicans don't care about gun violence, gun crime. Why? Because they don't pass more gun laws to take the guns out of the hands of law abiding citizens. So that's why they don't. What Alvin Bragg is not prosecuting gun crimes and violent crimes. Again, someone shoot. This should be national. National. One day I'll hear a Republican with a brain say this. You use a gun in the commission of a crime, just use it, just show it. Let's go on the lighter side. 5 years in prison mandatory. You fire it, even if it's up in the air, like, whoo-hoo, here I am, give me your wallet. 10 years. And if you shoot somebody, then you get sentenced accordingly. That would be, not only would it get the thugs off the street, but it would be a deterrent, because these thugs know now that they can use guns, shoot people, shoot the guns, and nothing happens. They don't want to go to jail for a 5-year minimum just by using a gun or showing a gun in the commission of a crime. So they'll stop. Lots of them will stop. And the ones who don't will get locked up. That's gun control. Not to Democrats. And I'm sorry to say, not to Republicans, because they're not smart enough to say what I just said. They let the Democrats control the narrative. We need more gun laws. We need tougher background checks. We need tougher this, tougher that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Republicans just say, no, you know, look at the laws. They don't really work. Talk about locking up the freaking criminal. They don't. They really don't. All right, here's one more before we go to break. This is Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, confidant slash attorney to Donald Trump, radio talk show host these days on my old stomping grounds, WABC. And here he's talking about Alvin Bragg, the DA of Manhattan. Cut 226.
God is on our side.
My fault. Okay, I thought Maxine Waters was 224. Really? 226 should have been Giuliani. We'll fix that during the break. So we'll take a break now. And that was Maxine Waters, who I was going to lead with when we come back. I might still do that. Don't go away. One final segment left in the hour right here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
There's been a lot of focus on Donald Trump's initial social media response over the weekend to reports that he'll be arrested this week in connection with alleged hush money payments made to porn star Stormy Daniels during his first presidential run. Trump posted in part, based on an old and fully debunked fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back. Well, many on the left are warning that Trump is calling for another January 6th. One of those is California Democrat Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who warned Trump may be trying to organize domestic terrorists to protest. Well, here is that same Congresswoman in 2018 telling a crowd to go after members of Trump's cabinet.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
A lot more specific and aggressive than anything Trump asked for over this past weekend. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
I will be right by your side.
Women can have it all, including heart attacks. But symptoms like jaw pain, nausea, unusual fatigue, dizziness, and backache are often different and more subtle than for a man. The fact is, heart disease is the number one killer of women. Know the signs. Learn more at GetHeartChecked.org. From Women's Heart Alliance, in partnership with Women Heart.
If you're talking about it,
cuts to Medicare and Social Security, they're off the table.
We're talking about
today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are back. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Steve M Talk. Same thing on Facebook, Instagram. Now, tomorrow, I was supposed to have Andy McCarthy, the great Andy McCarthy. Andy and I go back way, way back. And he is kind enough to come on me tomorrow. You know, Fox News contributor, former federal prosecutor. He's just a genius. National Review, the whole thing. Editor at the National Review. But that was the last time we talked and booked it, was when we assumed that Trump was going to be indicted tomorrow. If it's pushed back a week, I don't know. We may want to save Andy until we get all the facts and have them on the day that it happened, the night that it happens on, you know, on that day. So I don't know yet. I know that Stephen Moore, former economic advisor to Donald Trump and the FreedomWorks, head of FreedomWorks and great economic brain and author and commentator. And formerly at the Heritage Foundation, Stephen Moore, who you see on Fox very often, he'll be with us on Wednesday So we're playing a lot of this by ear, depending on what happens. I had a lot of the week booked. And then when I found out about Trump and the announcement, I canceled all the guests and rebooked it. And now they're saying next Tuesday, so next week, so I might rebook it again. It's a never-ending process, and it's not your problem. But I thought you'd like to know. Okay, so let's continue here. Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters, Congresswoman from California. She's been there forever. Woohoo! She is on MSNBC reacting to Trump and his whole thing, cut 2:24.
Yes, I started very early warning the American public about this president. I have never seen, most people have never seen or believed what we would have a president who has acted in the way that he has, who has disrespected the Constitution of the United States of America, who has lied, who has tried to organize domestic terrorists, and some believe that he did organize them as they attacked our Capitol on January 6th. This president has conducted himself in a way that he does not deserve not to be arrested. He should be arrested. He should be indicted. And the charges that he's been indicted on are minimal as opposed to the charges that I believe he could have been indicted on.
She's not a brain surgeon, let's put it that way, okay? And now, listen to this, cut 2:25.
When he announces himself, it's almost like he's attempting to organize his domestic terrorists to show up and to resist him being arrested. You have to be careful with him. He didn't just, yeah, go ahead.
Finish that thought real quick.
I beg your pardon?
Finish the thought you were going to make before I interrupted.
Oh, I just wanted to, have you to understand that perhaps he was trying to organize the domestic terrorists to protest his arrest.
Right.
Yeah, and I think we have to be careful about him making that announcement. He's doing it for a reason.
Right. And we are being careful about reporting that aspect of his Truth Social post. But I want to be clear. The former president has not officially been indicted. As a result, we do not know what, if any, charges he could be indicted on until we hear from the Manhattan DA.
OK, so he's clearing up what Maxine Waters said, because Maxine Waters was speaking as if he were indicted already. And, you know, she knew the charges. And that there should be different charges. She's just all over the. But notice, by saying protest, take America back, that he's trying to organize domestic terrorists to protest and violence. Listen to what this two-bit hypocrite said back in 2018. She's in Washington, D.C. To me, it looks like she's in a parking lot and she's, you know, standing on like one of these flatbed trucks or something. And she's got these people all around her listening to her. And it was something to do with immigration at the time. OK, she didn't like Trump's immigration policy. And so she went after Trump and his cabinet. And listen to what she said. This two-bit hypocrite. Cut number 2:26.
God is on our side, on the side of the children, on the side of what's right, on the side of what's honorable, on the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
So she wants people to find out where Trump's cabinet people may be. And if you see them, in a gas station, in a shopping mall, in a supermarket, where a restaurant, you get out and you form a crowd and you tell you get or gather around them and you tell them they're not welcome. Really? What kind of terrorism would you call that? Huh? Harassing people, getting in their faces, forming a crowd, and trying to drive them out from where they are. But again, no big deal. Donald Trump, you know, puts on social media protest, 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 and he is looking to domestic terrorists, and blah, blah, blah. She actually says much more than he put on his social media, much more direct. If Donald Trump said, if he's indicted, let's say Donald Trump says, find the members of that, and I'm not saying this, and this would be a crime, and do not do it. If Donald Trump got into a parking lot or wherever the heck she was and started talking to a crowd and said, find those members of the grand jury, find Alvin Bragg, find out where all those Democratic politicians are, and restaurants or library or gas station, get in their face, form a crowd. What do you think would happen? That's exactly what she said. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nada. Nothing. Not a thing. Because she's a hypocrite. The media, a bunch of hypocrites. The left could do and say and get away with anything they want. And it's a, oh, okay, what else? But you do one little thing, you say one little thing that possibly could be stretched into having its meaning perverted, and you're on the right, you're done. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Okay, Kamala Harris, some leftovers from her interview with Stephen Colbert last week. yeah, I don't know what to say, but you're going to hear this. Hopefully you'll like it. Here is cut number 215.
What is it that is, to coin a phrase, great about America and that kindles your love for it?
There's so much. There's so much. And you're right. And I have the blessing and privilege of traveling all over our country. And in particular, in these years where we have witnessed so-called leaders attempting to create division between us, I meet people who are just the people who are the ones who are the most optimistic about what is possible, who believe in each other, who understand that we all have so much more in common than what separates us. People who, you know, when people are out there protesting, you know what? God love them, because we have a nation that says that we will allow freedom of speech, freedom of association. And for the most part, we all stand for that, even if we agree to disagree.
Wow. Wow. What do you love about this? And what makes us so great? Oh, so much. So much. I travel. And people, you know, those protesters, and, you know, we have freedom of speech in this country. Oh, really? That's your answer? Well, I don't want to run out of time. Here's cut 216.
I look at who we are. We believe in freedom and liberty as Americans, and we fight for it. Now, there will be those at the extremes. But the vast majority of us, I think, great pride in understanding that our democracy will only be as strong as our willingness, each one of us, to fight for it. And when I travel our country, that's what I see. That's what I see.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. I think she robbed that from a third grader who recently took a trip to California to visit her grandmother and was asked by the teacher, what did you learn about our country? And she said, well, you know, I was lucky enough to travel. I go to see my grandmother often. And I see people who, I've seen people protesting in the streets. And, you know, we have liberty in this country. And I see freedom of speech and liberty. That's what I see. That's what she did. She took that little paper, that little notebook from the second grader, and she made it her own. What a sick, twisted, sad, juvenile answer, but that's her. At least she didn't cackle. She didn't look when I saw her say it. She didn't look drunk. I'm not saying she ever is. She didn't cackle. She didn't look drunk. So we should be thankful for that, I guess, right? Oh, so many things, so many great things about this country. And then she names, we have freedom of speech. Okay. I can't make it up. It never stops. Folks, tomorrow, I don't know who the guest will be. It might be Andy McCarthy. It might not. But be here. Bring your friends. Bring your enemies. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.